Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Monday morning at 9 o'clock, we welcome in our good friend Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donica Chase, also handles the pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. D-Mac, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Guys, how we doing? Good morning. This is where when you're a GM and a head coach of a bad team, this is where you get behind your desk and you peek every once in a while. So I still have a job. Then you dodge the bullets, right? I mean, because they're coming in. They're coming in hot this morning. You know, two of them, not surprised, but the Brian Flores in Miami, like, wow. I think Stephen Ross is a boob, so I'm not surprised. He's a bad owner, but. I don't think Brian Flores deserved to be fired. I think he's a good coach.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And now there's rumors out there that he could be maybe in the mix for some of these head coaching jobs that are coming open. So that would be quite the story if he gets fired by the Dolphins and then immediately hired by someone else. Darren, your thoughts on this Titans team? They get it done yesterday against the Texans 28-25. Got a little hairy in the second half. I don't think there's any question about that. Your thoughts on the game and just the accomplishment of this team this year capturing the number one seed?
You know, it should get Mike Vrabel coach of the year. I want to hear the counter arguments. I want to hear who else? I mean, Matt LaFleur, nothing against Matt LaFleur. I mean, I get it. They've won 13 games for 3 years. He's been the head coach, but did he have to go 9 weeks without Aaron Rodgers? No, he went 1 week without Aaron Rodgers, and out of that look, it looked awful. They were terrible. And like I said, I'm not taking anything away from Matt LaFleur. I think he's done a really good job in Green Bay, but he's got Aaron Rodgers, and this is not a surprise. I mean, I thought kind of coach of the year was – I mean, it's why, you know, guys like Bill Belichick and Nick Saban – and Mike Tomlin, guys that do it on a consistent basis, right, for a long time, they typically don't win it because everybody's just come to expect it. Like, that's your expectation. So typically it goes to the out of nowhere. By the way, if you had Staley as your guy for coach of the year after last night, I would go on and cross him off the list immediately because that was a really, really bad decision to call a timeout. I get it, the Cincinnati story, but what's the case against Mike Vrabel? What am I missing? Because of all the people out there that picked the Titans to be the one seed in the AFC? Sorry, I don't remember seeing those predictions, so I think he should win Coach of the Year. They took care of business, and hopefully number 22 is coming back, and it looks like all things are setting up. And at home, all things are setting up for maybe this magical season to finish off in L.A. We'll see, though. I mean, a lot of work to be done. It hasn't worked out the last two times, but as we joked last Monday, the good news is they're not going to have to play the Ravens because the Ravens aren't in the playoffs. So overall, Robbie, the two thumbs up, man. It's fantastic. No professional team in this town has lost in 2022.
So well, that's true.
Don't tell me 2022 sucks.
That's a good point. So how big of a deal is the one then, Darren? And I guess if you could handpick, well, let's take the Steelers out of it. Everybody would handpick the Steelers to be their opponent in the playoffs. But if you could handpick one of the realistic potential opponents for the Titans in the divisional round, who would it be?
Handpicking, wow. That's got me burned in the past. Handpicking. This should be a great matchup. Oh, I think I heard you guys touch on this in the last 30 minutes. I don't remember. Maybe it was the last segment. I think maybe, Joe, you're the one who said it. It wouldn't be awful to see the Patriots come here, right? Like that Patriots game in Foxborough was kind of a joke, right? They didn't have half their team. And so I don't think another crack at the Patriots would be awful. I don't know if – I mean, there's nothing wrong with the Raiders or the Bengals coming here. I mean, there's really – if you get down to it, there's two teams that are going to have you on the edge of your seat, right? There's going to have two teams that if they come here, people are going to have the towel close by for the sweating, right? Because the Chiefs and the Bills are the two teams that will probably scare people, although I would tell you I'm still not that scared of the Bills. Like, I've watched them all year, and – there's something off. Like, I watched them yesterday struggle mightily, and then they finally finished off the hapless Jets at home. But they've been doing that a lot this year. I mean, a lot. I've watched their games. They sleepwalk a lot. They look uninterested a lot, or maybe they just looked overhyped a lot. Maybe those first two examples aren't true. Maybe they're just paper champions. They're just really not that good. Something's off this year because they've had too many games this year where they don't look that interested, like yesterday, and then they eventually kick it in gear and they finish you off. But, I mean, I would say, I guess after saying all that, I've just talked to myself out of being that scared of the Bills. I mean, probably there's just one team that comes to town that's going to have people, you know, really, really nervous, and that's the Chiefs. But, I mean, the Titans have already proven they can beat the Chiefs, right? So, I mean, the answer should be nobody if they do what they do, but we know it's not going to be easy. We know that's not how it works. And we know the one seeds don't always get to the Super Bowl. So it's going to be hairy. It's going to be tough. Just like yesterday, which they should have annihilated that team, but they didn't. But it doesn't mean that they can't get to L.A. because they're equipped to get there. Now we'll just see if it plays out.
Darren McFarland on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road, talking Titans and the red-hot Nashville Predators as well. Darren, Preds just keep on winning. Forsberg out of the lineup the other night against Arizona. Doesn't matter. They just roll right along and win that game. They're in first place in the Central Division. This team just keeps finding ways to win. It's pretty incredible. Like, if you're not on the Preds bandwagon yet, I would advise you to hop on at this point. They're fun to watch.
Well, if you're not, where have you been? I mean, we're approaching the midway point of the season. It's like this team has been doing it pretty consistently all year. If you haven't looked at the standings now, I could say, okay, maybe you just haven't looked at the standings, but how could you be unaware of what they've done this year? They currently are the one seed in the Western Conference. Just let that soak in for a minute as we sit here. What's today, January 10th?
Yeah.
They've played 36 games, and they are the one seed in the Western Conference. Now, there's a long ways to go, but this team, I mean, the style that they play and what they do night in and night out, you can't say that they haven't faced adversity, right? They have faced adversity all year, players in and out of the lineup because of COVID. We learned that on Saturday night yet again. The hottest guy on the team, Philip Forsberg, out of the lineup, testing positive. Philip Forsberg had 14 goals in 17 games coming into that game Saturday night in Arizona. I realize it's the Coyotes, so it's kind of like the Texans example, right? Like, you gotta win. You got to beat the Texans without Derrick Henry. You got to beat the Coyotes without Philip Forsberg. But Arizona had ripped apart Chicago a couple nights before. But this team has had, you know, multiple key guys out of the lineup, and they still find ways to win. The power play has been consistently good all year long. Now the penalty kill is consistently good. What don't they do? I mean, I guess you could always want more scoring, but on this road trip, 3-4-4, I mean, wouldn't you take that on the road, right? Usually 3 is that magical number the way UC Saros is playing, just like when we used to say that about Pecorine. 3 is your formula, right? If you can get to 3 more times than not, you're going to win these games. And twice out of the 3 road games in 2022, they put 4 up. So that should be good enough when you've got, you know, a guy that currently would be the Vezina finalist. I mean, I don't think there's any way around that. He's not going to finish 6th again. I mean, UC Saros, like, now there should be anarchy. If we should all rise up. If he doesn't finish as a finalist, unless things go really, really bad the rest of the way, and I don't know how anybody could predict that, UC Saros not only is going to be a finalist, I mean, I think you're going to be able to make a strong case he's going to win it. That's how good he's been. Mike Kelly on NHL Network said he is the most valuable goaltender to any contending team in the NHL. So Mike Kelly's aware, and he's the analytics guy over on that side. But, I mean, when you're getting the secondary score, right, like, Robbie, how many times, Joe, how many times have we talked about, you got to get scoring for somewhere else? Well, they're doing that. This is not about one line. This team is certainly not about one line. And now you're getting Trennan with 3 straight games with a goal. Tanner Janot just continues to have success no matter where they put him. This team, I'll just keep saying it, like I've said with you guys many, many Mondays, this is a fun team to watch. Like, I don't know how you don't like watching this team. They don't take any crap. I love that about them. There's no way you're going to call this team soft. This may be the I don't think it's really even debatable anymore. It's the toughest team slash skilled team that we've ever seen in this market. I don't think that's even disputable. Like, they're their most talented, tough team we have ever seen in this market in 23 plus years. I mean, this is not about just guys that go out there and the only thing they bring to the table is energy. And, you know, they're going to fight somebody because they had a big hit. Like, these guys are not – they're productive, too. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, they're hitting people. They're blocking shots. They're pushing around. They're getting fighting majors. And they're providing offense. So, to me, that's not even disputable. And right now, this team is sitting atop the Central. They're sitting atop the Western Conference. And unless something drastically changes – I think a lot of people are going to have to write the column of, whoops, I think I missed on the Predators. This team is way better than everybody predicted. But lot more work to be done. But approaching the midway point is starting – that's a fair gauge, right, when you can really start looking at teams and going, okay, are they real or are they not real? And I think as we approach the midway point of this season, I think it's pretty clear this team is real.
So how big is this game against Colorado, Darren?
Well, I mean, that's what everybody thinks is supposed to be the standard in the Central, right, Joe? I mean, they haven't been to this point, and I know they've had a lot of stuff going on. They've had a ton of COVID issues, and I know McKinnon hasn't played a lot. But, I mean, everybody's identified, like, it's Colorado and everybody else, including me. I mean, I put me in that group, too, I'm going into the season. So, I mean, they're your standard. I mean, they're just 4 points back. They haven't played as many games as everybody else. In fact, I think they may be the team that's played – well, no, there's a couple teams in the Eastern Conference that have played less. But Colorado's only played 31 games. So they've got 5 games in hand on the Predators, and they're 4 points back. So to answer your question, it's big because if everybody's going to identify this team, Colorado, as the team you've got to beat in the division, like that's the standard in the division, and you go out and beat them at home – again, which they've already done the last time through with both teams with depleted rosters, I think that'll go a long ways. But this should be yet again another fun matchup tomorrow night when the Avs come to town.
Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow, joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Darren, great stuff as always, brother. Appreciate you taking time to be with us.
Enjoyed it as always. Keep us laughing. Thanks.
We will try. We will do our best. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We got a pair of tickets to give away to see WWE Friday Night SmackDown at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Friday, January 21st. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to WWE Friday Night SmackDown coming up on Friday, January 21st at Bridgestone Arena. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. We are on Facebook Live nowadays, so make sure you keep that in mind as well. You can now check out the show every morning on Facebook as well. So if you didn't have enough options to see our beautiful faces every single morning, Joe Rex Road, now even more options to see us out here on the program. It's good stuff. As Rex Road hams it up for the camera right now. It's good stuff.
The camera loves me, doesn't it? Oh, my goodness.
Yes,
it does. Other than adding 30 pounds.
Oh, man. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jeff, texting in, says, I hate to berate the Titans. However, I don't like seeing several 15- to 20-yard runs right up the middle. That won't get it done in the playoffs. Games like yesterday will get you a loss. Also, I'm really glad to see Nick Westbrook-Ikhina getting better every single week. I wonder if Jared still thinks he is a warm body or is maybe starting to see him progressing into a good NFL receiver. This coming from Jeff on the text line.
That's the Jared take you have a problem with? Westbrook-Ikhina he's been good this year. He really has been. And honestly, I think in the I agree with that. Like in the last few weeks, I've always thought West McKinney, good story. Again, he's versatile. He works hard. He's a good blocker, all that stuff. But I feel like recently he's become a little bit more dangerous too downfield. You know, I think he's hit a little bit another level, so to speak, as a receiver. Ends up with 476 yards this year. I mean, who the heck had Nick Westbrook-Ikhina for 476 receiving yards this season?
Yeah, I don't think anybody did. So it's pretty good to see him come through. And some big plays yesterday, 4 catches, 78 yards, and a touchdown. So good stuff yesterday from Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. Julio Jones, big day yesterday as well. A.J. Brown, they spread the ball around. That was probably the most encouraging thing to me is I get it. It's the Houston Texans. You're going to see some better defenses in the playoffs. I don't think there's any question about that. Julio with a big day yesterday. Anthony Firkser with some big catches yesterday. It was nice to see the passing attack not just be totally focused on A.J. Brown and some other guys come up with some big plays yesterday. Although, A.J. did have a big play with a touchdown.
Yeah, and A.J. also, the final drive was all basically running the ball. Hilliard gets the conversion, then Hilliard gets the, you know, the clincher on the really nice play design by Todd Downing. But that drive started with a 16-yarder to A.J. That was a big deal too. So I thought that was a perfect, you know, distribution. You had four receivers that you appeared to have some good comfort and chemistry with, and Julio is one of them. I don't think there's any question that yesterday was a step forward for the passing game. Also a step back for the defense. I mean, I agree. It wasn't good enough. You know, look, whoever they play, they're going to give up plays. It's not going to be perfect. I kind of agree with Corey. Just there is a toughness about this team that has to give you some optimism going into the postseason. If there wasn't, they would not be where they are today. For all the setbacks and issues and everything, if they weren't overall a tough, poised team, they wouldn't be sitting here with the one seed. And so you have to like their – you just have to like their chances knowing that they're going to be at home to have a good chance to make the title game and to be right in there until the end, possibly playing for a spot in the Super Bowl.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Lots of people mad at Joe Rexroad on the text line. Greg, texting in, says, Joe, the Steelers don't suck, and they're a playoff team. They played by the same rules that every other team played under and qualified for the playoffs. They may not have made it in the way you would have preferred, but they did. Stop being a Jared. You're better than that. This coming from Greg.
Ooh. Shots fired.
Michelle texted me that Junie's all mad at me too, because I guess it was the contrast of ripping the Steelers and also praising the Browns. So I don't know what to tell you. Look, I mean, if you're a Steelers fan, and I said earlier in the show, I got a good friend who's a Steelers fan who's like, I did not want them in the playoffs. Like, I'm sorry. They're not good. They're not a playoff caliber team. This is the Steelers are an indictment of the 7-team, system that started last year. The problem is there are other teams in the AFC. Like, I'm sorry, man. I was rooting for that field goal to be missed last night because Raiders and Chargers in the playoffs makes for a much better playoff bracket than Steelers and Raiders. I'm sorry. I've seen them up close a couple weeks ago. I don't know how the Titans, you know, gave that one away, but they did to a very limited team. They're going to get blown out by the Chiefs. If they don't, get the car wash started.
Yo, my car will be in that line.
That's fine. I'll be like, you know, like those, you know, like a softball team has a car wash. You're trying to raise money. It'll just be me. I'll be out there with a sign, a tank top, you know, bathing suit, and I just let's go.
Joe, let's I just want to let you know you missed it, obviously, because you're remote, but Junie came up here, and he's wearing a Steelers hat and a Steelers shirt, and he's like, where's Joe?
Good stuff. Chris.
Well, I'm glad I'm in Houston. Junie's kind of big. Right. I don't mess with that dude.
Chris texting in says, never compare Joe to Jared. Come on, man, in all capital letters. This is coming from Chris on the text line.
Always comes back to Jared, huh? Just got to keep talking. I had a Rex rant about Jared.
You did.
Let's leave Jared alone and Listen to his takes today. I agree with Jared's take on Twitter that this firing by the Dolphins of Brian Flores is absolutely laughable. Laughable.
Got some Titans fans on the text line wanting Vrabel to make Brian Flores a part of the coaching staff as they move forward here.
That's a good point. But I think he's going to get one of these head coaching jobs.
I think he might. I think he absolutely might.
I think it'll be a quick. I think it'll be a quick little waiting period for him. And I think he probably. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a pick of a couple jobs here as things move forward. That's just stupid. Stephen Ross is a talk about the clown show in Jacksonville. Y'all keep those clown outfits on and go south down the coast a little bit. Stephen Ross, what a joke.
Xavier on the text line says, I think the lack of drops yesterday was really encouraging for me to see. Talking about the Titans wide receivers, lack of drops.
Well, you know what? That's a good point. And honestly, there were a lot of moments, Julio in the end zone, Firkser had one, Westbrook Akina had one, with you know, jarring hits right after the catch that often knocks the ball out. And there were some good contested, taking a hit, hold on to the ball catches yesterday.
Brian from Nashville texting in says, the Steelers did beat the beloved number one seed, though. It's coming from Brian in Nashville.
Well, yeah, so do the Jets and Texans. Yay. I mean, it's the NFL. I mean, look, hey, TJ Watt is great, okay? Yeah. They got a legit D, and I think that Najee Harris, when they fix their offensive line, can be a special player in this league. And the fact that he had 1,000 yards?
Rock to the Naj.
Give a shout out to John Burton, who said that yesterday. Like, how the heck, because he worked in Pittsburgh a long time. How the heck did he get 1,000 yards on that line? Good point. But their line is bad. And their secondary is not very good. And I'm sorry, but Ben is just, you know, good for him. I mean, good for him. It's going to be an absolute blowout Saturday night. I'm sorry. Or Sunday night. Sunday night? Yeah. You can watch something on HBO.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The College Football Championship is here, and to celebrate, FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking new customers up with 30-to-1 enhanced odds on either team to win. That means you can bet $5 and win $150 on either team to win it all. Personally, I like Alabama in this matchup against Georgia, but you take it any way you want to take it. Just sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook using promo code ROB and make a deposit to claim your 30-to-1 enhanced odds. There's no better place to bet the College Football Championship than on America's number one sportsbook. It's simple and easy to use. It's safe and secure, and when you win, FanDuel will pay your winnings in as little as 2 hours. So don't miss your chance to win $150 on a $5 bet on the College Football Championship. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, head to sportsbook.fanduel.com, and sign up using promo code ROB to get 30-to-1 odds on either team to win. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only, a $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market, a max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
I'm ready.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube, and on Facebook Live as well. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here on this Monday morning, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, big day yesterday, I guess comparatively speaking, for Julio Jones. 5 catches, 58 yards, and a touchdown for Julio in that game. Had a couple other plays that looked like they were there that the Titans just missed on. How encouraged should you be if you're a Titans fan by what you saw from number 2 yesterday? And I guess does that performance maybe raise your expectations for Julio Jones heading into the playoffs, given where they were and the conversation that we've had over the last few weeks?
I would say no question. I would say compared to just a couple weeks ago, remember, it wasn't that long ago. It was like, oh, and there's the hamstring again. And, you know, once again, he just, you know, he can't stay healthy. He can't do a lot when he's out there. I don't think there's any question that yesterday looked like a step forward for him. And maybe it was a step forward in health, I don't know, but he to me looked as fast as he's looked in a long time. He ran some really good revenue. Julio Jones, I mean, if he's got his physical tools with him, then he has done everything well as a receiver. Yards after the catch, physicality, go high point the ball, run sharp routes, get behind a defense. He's done it all. That's why he's going to be in Canton. And that wasn't that guy yesterday, but it was certainly a guy who can help this team in the postseason. If that's what they're going to get from him, if he's going to be that guy, you know, physically, then I think he's got a chance to make plays and be a nice compliment to A.J. Brown. And again, it wasn't just him. I mean, I think he was the biggest part of it for sure. But, you know, and by the way, we haven't talked about this, but A.J. Brown went in the injury tent real early in the game. And I was like, uh-oh. And I don't know what it was. There was never a report on that. But, of course, he played and he seemed to be fine after that. A couple times I thought he looked a little bit ginger, but he played. So he was A.J., made some big plays, but Westbrook, Akina, and Ferks are two. That's a quartet that could really be productive enough to give you a chance against anybody. You run the ball like you've been running it, protect like you've been protecting lately, and then, you know, get the defense kind of back in order after the Danny Amendola show that happened yesterday in the second half. I'm sure they were saying, "Damn me, that Danny."
I'm sure that they were out there on defense for the Titans. Yeah, look, I mean, if you tell me Derrick Henry's coming back in a couple of weeks and now it looks like you can maybe start to get your passing game figured out a little bit. I mean, think about it, and you brought it up a couple of times this show. What is this now, 2.5 games worth of Tannehill in a row where – you feel pretty good about the way that he's been trending for the most part? I mean, look, I know the numbers against the Dolphins are not going to blow you away, but I thought he played pretty well in that game. He made the throws that were there and that were available to him. Most importantly, he didn't make any really disastrous throws in that game. So I think you're feeling pretty good about the passing attack, especially comparatively speaking to this time 3 weeks ago when we were like, all right, is this team ever going to have a passing attack coming back into the playoffs? Certainly, I think a much different vibe on that front for the Titans heading into the playoffs.
Agree. You got to feel a lot better about it. I think 2.5 games where I think there's been a change. And again, I'll go back to Vrabel. Like consistently all year. Okay. As Vrabel has been asked about Tannehill, as he has been asked about the passing game. I mean, at some point, like, you need to believe a guy. I know sometimes Vrabel doesn't like to, you know, get specific on stuff. Sometimes like, if he keeps saying the same thing over and over again, like, you need to believe him at some point. What did he say yesterday? He asked about Tannehill. The first thing he said, it starts with protection. There's just no doubt about it. And that has been better. And it has been bad this year. And it has been the biggest problem. And Tannehill at some points hasn't, you know, maybe reacted as well as you want to it, but it's been bad. It's gotten better. I think that's really encouraging. Because look, it's hard for me, whether it's one game or two games here at Nissan Stadium, there are going to be moments here where it's like Ryan Tannehill, it's 3rd and 11, and they're coming for you, and you got to make a quick read and a pinpoint throw into a tight window, or, you know, this, you may not win this game. I'm very confident in believing that there are going to be moments like that ahead for him. And we'll see. You know, I mean, there's still, I think, as much to prove for him as anyone in that building. But if you're the Titans, and I believe them when they say they always have confidence in him and they love his toughness and all that, but it's still the execution, the precision. These are things that you got to see from your quarterback. It's the hardest job out there, right? And there's got to be growing confidence based on especially yesterday and what he did in the second half.
Yeah, I think there's got to be, and we'll see if he can keep that going. I mean, the thing with him you're always concerned about, like, even on the deep ball yesterday, he, like, pulled up for a second, and I think it was just out of frustration that they missed on the play. But for about a half a second, I was like, oh, God, did he just hurt his hamstring again? But it looks like Julio's okay on that front. So, I mean, I guess it could always creep back up, but I guess the hamstring is past him at this point. Do we feel okay about that?
it's, the fact that he was able to come right back a couple weeks ago was very surprising. And I think that's encouraging. And the way he ran yesterday, it seems that way. Now you have extra time. Now, they're going to be on the practice field this week. So he's going to be out there running. I think it's still important for Julio and Tannehill to bank as many reps they can bank, this week and the next week when they actually have an opponent to prepare for and put a game plan in. But it seems that way. Again, with AJ, it's like there's also like he seems to get like a little bit banged up here and there. But he's staying out there. So, I mean, the health picture of this team right now, remember, they also didn't have Naquan Jones or Tyr Tart yesterday. You got this extra time for them. Whatever's up with Fulton and Molden, you got extra time for them. The picture, the health of this team, then you bring Derrick Henry back. I mean, there are a lot of things that kind of conspire together here to make you think, gosh, maybe this is, I hate to say it, don't get mad at me, Titans fans.
Oh, boy.
Don't tell me I'm jinxing anyone. Maybe a little Team of Destiny kind of thing going on with this team.
Oh, right, boy.
Oh, boy. All right, let me go back to ripping the Steelers. Get them mad.
Joe!
Jeff on the text line says, hopefully when Julio turns into Godzilla in the playoffs, then the job of managing his hamstring injury will have been brilliant by Vrabel and the medical staff. This coming from Jeff on the text line. Expecting Julio Jones to turn into Godzilla in the playoffs. That'd be something.
Well, if that's the case, man, they're really, I really like their chances. That brings up the larger point of, the whole like medical staff, trainers, fire the trainers, fire the strength coach, all these injuries. And I'm sure it's been a tough, trying year for those people. And, I'm sure, especially when it was like, it seemed like hamstrings, like there was a hamstring virus, I'm sure there was all kinds of like, what can we do differently? And, but I think Vrabel put it well a few weeks ago. It's like, people are ripping the trainers. What are we doing here? if they end up with a very healthy team here for the most important part of the season and they play like it, then there's a lot of things that we'll probably go back on that we talked about at various points this season and say, oh, wow, I guess actually they were kind of on the right track.
Chris in Nashville texting in said, what about that 3rd-and-2 where we went deep to Julio? I hated it. We've had a lot of texts about that 3rd-and-2 today.
Yeah, again, pass plays. Pass plays, downfield passing plays have multiple options. So, I think that was Tannehill's decision, and I think it was a good decision. I'd have to look at the play again, like the coach's film, who all was, where he should have gone with that ball. But obviously, that was a tough, three and out to have at that point too. You really needed to just move the chains and at least possess the ball for a little bit.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says Joe Jinx Road is in the house. Joe Jinx Road.
I didn't say they're getting to the Super. I just say there's a little bit of a feeling of Team of Destiny, okay? There's plenty
of... So when they lose in the divisional round, yeah, Titans fans are coming after you.
Listen, I just hope you're jinxing the Chiefs right now with all this Steelers hate. I just hope you're jinxing the Chiefs. The Steelers, then we go to the Super Bowl, and it's a happily ever after.
If I jinx the Chiefs, that means they will only win by 14.
Wow.
I'm sorry. That game is just, whoa, we just saw that game. It's not going to be any different.
Wayne texting it says, once again, Molden's lack of speed was exposed by the Texans in the second half. Marshall was also a target in the fourth quarter as well. This is coming from Wayne on the text line. I don't know who is Marshall.
Yeah, who's Marshall? I'm trying to like, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, I mean, Molden got by Amendola a few times for sure. So I think Molden's been very good this year. I mean, overall, as a rookie, I think it's been a lot more good than bad. There's been some bad. That was they got him a few times. And again, they got one of those TDs when he got hurt. Chris Jackson had to come in for him, boom, immediately go at him, and Amendola gets behind him. So it's just what a game, That's why you got to love the NFL. Like a guy like Danny Amendola can just come out of nowhere and double his season production in one half. You know, the Titans can be up 21-0. It's over. And then they give up the most points they've given up all season and a half of football. That's, I mean, look at all the crazy stuff that happened in the league yesterday. So to get through all that with all that's gone on to be the number one seed, pretty damn impressive.
Maddie on the text line says, oh, come on. It's Joe Hexrod. Joe Hexrod on the text line.
That's probably better. We can
continue to do many things with your name. It's unbelievable. The amount
I did not. I never said they're going to win anything for sure. I don't even know who they're playing. I'm just saying there are elements. Can we all agree on this?
Yes. Yes, we can. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. We'll keep you updated on the moves that are happening fast around the NFL right now. Also, look ahead to the college football national championship game tonight as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Dylan texting in says, I don't think it's a stretch to say that the Titans may have neglected Davis Mills in the second half.
Neglected. Oh, my. Oh, Dylan, taking it next level, buddy. Next level.
What a game by Davis next Mills.
Level. And like the levels that Davis can see from his perch. Hey, you know what I realized today, Robbie and Michelle?
What'd you say,
college,
Joe?
I just want to tell you guys one thing that I realized today, and it just kind of hit me. You know, this is not great for college football. The NFL going to 18 weeks and 17 games. You know, today is a national championship game, and I know we're going to talk a little bit about this last segment, but that's what we're going to talk about it, a little bit this last segment. When you now have the national title game on the same day as Black Monday in the NFL with all the firings and moves, plus you just got the playoff bracket came out, you had all these wild games the day before. College football loses big to the NFL on a day like this. Not great. I don't know, you know, if they can really do much about it, but that's a bad deal. Normally, this would be, you know, after the first week of the playoffs. Still a lot of NFL talk, but there's not all this crazy news flying around to even further kind of push the biggest day of college football down a little bit.
Well, and it's been a wild day in the NFL so far. I mean, Mike Zimmer fired by Minnesota, Matt Nagy out in Chicago. Brian Flores fired by the Miami Dolphins. I don't think I saw that one coming. I don't think most people saw that one coming, but he is out as head coach of the Miami Dolphins. And now you're talking about head coaching jobs that are open. Will Jim Harbaugh leave Michigan and come to the NFL? Lots of talk about that right now on the social medias out there. It's been a wild day so far in the NFL with some coach firings, a couple that we expected. I mean, the NFC North with Zimmer and Nagy being gone, and they've cleaned house with general managers as well. I don't think that's a big surprise to anybody. The Brian Flores thing just kind of floors me.
I mean, Vikings and Bears should be in a battle right now to hire him, you know?
Yeah.
The Dolphins, man. So apparently, was it Schefter reporting, you know, GM, in which it happens a lot. A lot of times it's like one or the other, especially if you're a bad owner, that you would buy into this and move on from that guy. I've been mostly very impressed. He hurt himself by raising expectations with a huge overachieving second season, but you know, an owner who's smart enough to understand what's going on would not have penalized him for that.
Yep. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with Brian Flores. Maybe, I mean, it could be he ends up getting fired from the Dolphins and one of these open head coaching jobs. Would not be surprised if Brian Flores gets one of those. Could be two different teams and a couple of different days for Brian Flores. Who knows? So we'll see what happens on that front. Joe, your thoughts on the national title game tonight between Alabama and Georgia? You've been high on the Georgia train heading into this game. I've been high on the Alabama train heading into this game. What kind of a game do you expect tonight for the national title? And we'll see whether or not Georgia has what it takes to finally slay the dragon of Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about Georgia doing that. even with, I totally understand, like when you have a matchup when there's a clear superior coach, and that is the case with Nick Saban compared to Kirby Smart, obviously, and a clear superior quarterback. So how are you picking the other team? I think Georgia's a considerably better all-around team than Alabama. And I also know that anybody who watched the SEC title game would say, really? Well, let me show you some footage from Atlanta a few weeks ago. But I think it's Georgia's time. I do. I think that if Stetson Bennett can play like he did against Michigan, aggressive, pushing the ball down the field, not afraid to make plays, but then don't make that killer mistake. He made just a couple brutal decisions against Alabama and Atlanta that was a big part of that game going the way it did, along with the most surprising part, which was Alabama's maligned offensive line just walling off Georgia all night. I don't think they're going to do that again. I don't know how they did it. I don't think they're going to do it again. But I think we're going to get a really good game. I kind of feel like a little bit lower scoring kind of game tonight. I feel like it's going to be a nice, in Big Ten country, a nice Big Ten type, 20-17 kind of game.
How much do you think the country cares about this matchup? Alabama and Georgia, it's all SEC final again. I think it's pretty clear these are the two best teams. I don't think anybody really disputes that, but how much do you think nationwide the country cares about this matchup where, yet again, Alabama's in the title game and Georgia becoming a fixture in the playoff as well? What do you think the interest level is like with this matchup?
I think for people who are college football fans, I think there's excitement because it's pretty clear this is the top two. This should be a really good game. Now, there may have been a lot more casual interest, let's say, when like Alabama played Notre Dame 10 years ago, right? But also, what a disgusting game that was. Yeah.
That interest left pretty quick.
Yeah, it's great when you can get in some new blood. But like, if it's new blood that's just going to be it's going to be annihilated and sent home, why is that fun? I think the casual fan, there's a lot of fatigue. And again, I do think like even today hurts that game because the NFL is so dominating the news cycle. But if you're a real college football fan who pays attention to the sport, I don't know how you aren't excited about this. I get the SEC fatigue and the Alabama and Georgia. I get all that. But this is the best game. And what we want is the best game. In most years, even since the BCS started and on into the playoff, we've gotten the best game. Some of them haven't been great. I think this one has a real chance to be.
Our buddy Bob on Twitter says, I will not actually believe that Georgia can beat Alabama until they do it. You just can't take them until they do it. Alabama is so far up in Georgia's head, I don't think they have any chance tonight. This is coming from Bob on Twitter.
Well, you may be right. And at some point that those things change, right? Like at some point, a team that's been knocked down like this responds and gets it done. If they don't get it done tonight, then many months ahead of, Kirby just can't quite win the big one. And there'll be also a lot of like, well, this is why you can't have Stetson Bennett as your quarterback and try to win a national championship. Be very damaging for Georgia if they don't get it done. This is a tremendous opportunity. Nick Saban's the GOAT, but I think Nick Saban's taking an L tonight.
We'll see what happens tonight. We'll be back in the morning to break it all down, the national title game tonight between Alabama and Georgia. Joe, some final thoughts. Hope Titans fans enjoy today. It's a good day to be a Titans fan. You get the number one seed in the AFC. The Colts are out of the playoffs. Pretty much was a perfect storm yesterday for you. I know it got a little hairy towards the end of the game against the Texans, but it's a pretty good day to be a fan of the Tennessee Titans out there. Hope the people of Nashville enjoy it.
No doubt. And this coming weekend, you get to watch all these games and know that your team already won one of them. So embrace that. Don't worry about the two times that it didn't go well. The more times you get to knock on the door as a number one seed, at some point it's going to work out for you.
And probably going to have number 22 back in there as well. Looking forward to watching him run out of the tunnel and be a part of things coming up here in a couple of weeks when the Titans host a playoff game. Joe, that's going to do it for us today. Be safe coming back from Houston.
All right, will do. I'll actually see you guys in person tomorrow,
Right. That's going to be a good time. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donick and Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.